Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. Edward Snowden, who revealed NSA secrets from a hotel room in Hong Kong, finally answered some questions this week. Not from journalists, of course, but in a live blog hosted by The Guardian UK. How do you behave when you're accused of treason? Find out on Twitter by following hashtag AskSnowden. Riot police descended on residential areas in the second week of labor protests in Turkey. The Obama administration agreed to send small arms to Syrian rebels. How will rebels behave when they're fully armed? Follow hashtag ThanksForTheGunsAmerica to find out. The GOP tried to keep Americans focused on the scandal of the IRS targeting conservative political groups for scrutiny on their applications for tax-exempt status in order to distract Americans from the real scandal of the IRS giving tax-exempt status to political groups at all. Kim Kardashian had a baby. Phil Mickelson finished second place in the U.S. Open for the 97th time. And Superman came out this week, paving the way, apparently, for the 2016 release of Mixed Metal, The Wedding of Superman and Iron Man. It's June 17th, 2013. Wedding season is in full swing, so let's talk about it. I'm Brian Kaiser, and this is How to Behave, The Wedding Show, Part 2. To my right, as always, Hannah Howard.
Hello.
Every week we deal with a different aspect of behavior. Today is part two of our first ever two-episode topic, How to Behave at a Wedding. The behavior self-analysis team is in the house today. Liv Ruth and David Wells were married on May 25th, and they're here to talk about the experience of putting on a destination wedding. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
So a few weeks ago on the show, we prepared me to attend your Southern wedding, and today is the post-mortem, as it were. On the phone with us, we have the smoothest accent south of the Mississippi, bringing brides and grooms etiquette, elegance, and sophistication since 1979, the man who saved me from wearing a wool suit to Louisiana in May, wedding planner Anthony Lala. Hi,
Good
Anthony.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm great. It's so great to hear your voice.
Good to hear you, and I'm glad. I want to wish the happy couple congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And let's hear about what they did in New Orleans.
Well, I didn't say the name of your town because I didn't want to butcher it. Say it again for me.
New Orleans.
Oh, that I just
yeah, it's good.
Like, music.
I'm usually good at picking up accents, but that's one I can't do justice to.
It's really hard.
Yeah,
and it's very hard, but it's. Let's put it this way. Many years, and it's well-seasoned.
It sure is. So, Liv, you are from New Orleans. That's why the wedding was there, right?
I am, yes.
But you don't have as beautiful an accent as Mr. Lala. What's
wrong with you?
Well, I think it's because I'm an actor, but also because my parents aren't from there originally.
Okay.
My dad's from Texas, and my mom's from D.C. So, somehow, I got away with no accent. Not really sure
how
that happened.
That's good. You sound like a newscaster.
I know. People always tell me I sound like I'm from the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
Your parents moved to New Orleans. Are they like, is it the sort of place where they're considered outsiders forever? Like,
no, I think, I mean, it's New Orleans and it's the South and people are very hospitable. So okay. I don't know what the...
It's not like New Hampshire where third generation people are still considered away.
No, yeah. It's okay. Not like that at all. It's so welcoming. I mean, like, they just want to open their arms to everybody.
All right. Cool. Well, the phone lines are open today. So if you're listening to the live stream, you can join the conversation by calling us at 718-497-2128. So, Anthony, I do have to thank you because you prepared me very well for this wedding. Everything you said was dead on accurate. And thank God, because I would have had a heat stroke had I worn the only suit I owned prior to this wedding.
Well, you know, Brian, you know, traditionally, and it's been for many, many years, traditionally, you know, your June bride is very traditional. You know, unfortunately, here in New Orleans, it's quite warm, and it's always quite warm in the month of June.
Yeah. Well, May 25th, you know, and it was, while quite warm, it was actually beautiful. It was not sweltering.
As soon as that sun...
Well, you know, you were in a good location of the city. You were very close to the Mississippi River, and mm-hmm. there's always quite a bit of airflow in that area. So that kind of saved you from that night, from any immense heat or immense humidity.
Yeah.
That's very true. Once the sun got out of our faces, it wasn't so bad anymore.
Yeah, the ceremony was the hottest.
It was very warm.
Yeah, and the sun was right on you guys during the ceremony, right?
And
Because it was sort of setting behind us.
Yes, our blessed team of officiants, I think, had the worst of it since they had to actually face into the sun.
Now, is that the sort of thing you guys talked about? Like, when planning the wedding, you had to talk about where will the sun be when we're doing this. And was there an error made, or was it exactly as you planned and you just knew you were going to have to tough it out?
We knew we were going to have to tough it out. I mean, we knew sort of early on, you know, you can look and you know which way is west, you know which way the sun's going to be heading. Mm-hmm. And we knew that we wanted our wedding to be in the evening, but also specific to our venue. There are some noise ordinances that we also had to take into account. So mm-hmm. we knew we had to kind of wrap things up outside by around 10 or 10:30.
Okay. So in order to have time for a band and blah, 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 you had to...
I feel like this is an appropriate time to say that David planned the entire wedding. So, like, you ask questions like that, and I'm like, he looked up the sunset times, like, a year and a half ago.
Yes, David, the logical, organized one of the family, right?
Yeah, but, like, I mean, everywhere we went in the South, people would, like, I think I kept saying this to people, when we were planning the wedding, people would kind of just look at me when we were meeting them, and I'd have to kind of, you know, redirect them in the direction of David and be like, I'm not your traditional bride here.
That's great.
You gotta talk to that one over there.
Did you guys use a wedding planner?
We did.
Yeah.
She was fantastic. Her name is Amy Barusi. She is with Plan B Productions.
Really?
Yes. That,
the unfortunately named Plan B Productions.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think she was going for a play on her last name.
Yeah.
But it does kind of come off as...
Especially for weddings.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's for people who change their mind the next morning about getting married.
Or they're marrying their backup bride.
Right, exactly.
No, she was great. She has a great team. She was very helpful.
Yeah.
Cool. So yours was a... Did you call it a destination wedding? Like, it was Memorial Day.
Called it that, but I guess it was.
Because you had events planned from Thursday through Sunday, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think of a destination wedding as being not where you grew up, though. I think
that's
being...
why we didn't call it that, because we had Liv's family was there, so it was a destination for probably 85% of the guests.
I call it that because it was a destination for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was, I guess, for most of our friends and... Even most of my family, only my mom and dad live there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, your sister doesn't live there anymore.
No, she lives here. She actually lives in Bushwick now.
Really?
Yep.
Let's invite her over for dinner. <We're done. laughs> So I thought what you did was great, especially for me, because I was there, A, solo, and B, while we are friends, I'm not really a part of any of your circle of friends. Like, I don't know most of the people you know.
Right.
So I was going to New Orleans kind of feeling like I might be wandering around the French Quarter by myself for a couple of days. But you had a cocktail party at your parents' house where you grew up, Liv, the Thursday night.
Yeah.
To which I arrived an hour early.
That
because
was amazing.
I didn't change my clock.
No, an hour earlier than you intended to, but you were only about 10 or 15 minutes.
That's
actually
true.
Early,
that's true. An hour earlier than I intended, which was supposed to be...
I'm very glad you were the first guest.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse, and it was very good.
Oh, yeah. That night became really stressful. Oh, I just remembered what happened.
Oh, do tell.
And this is sort of a funny conversation of etiquette that I'm sure Mr. Lala has experienced in his own wedding stuff. But my parents are divorced, and I will talk about this openly because there's no chance that they even know what a podcast is or will listen to this. had not seen each other in about a decade until that Thursday night cocktail party. And actually, my father... had told me that they probably weren't going to be able to make that particular event. So I was also not expecting that to be their reunion after.
So they were both invited, but your father had said he wouldn't make it, so you didn't expect it.
They were driving in that day, so he said, we're probably going to get in late and just want to crash. And then about an hour and a half into it, knock, 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 my father and his wife showed up with my mother in the back room. So
I opened the front door and I was like, oh my God. I think I even said it out loud. In fact, I think I did. I was like, oh my God, oh my God.
And they literally stood in the lobby talking to, I think...
The lobby.
The lobby. In the foyer talking to your dad for a good 20... I mean, it was very clear that they were trying not to head to the back.
And did they end up facing each other that evening?
Yes, it was fine. Everyone was wonderfully and on topic. Everyone was wonderfully behaved.
Yes,
for the most part.
Good.
We had no ill behavior.
No, not towards each. You know, I'm sure there was a little snickering behind backs, but no one was poorly behaved. Everyone was wonderful. They said their hellos and then went their kind of separate ways and enjoyed.
Anthony, statistically speaking, this must happen at half the weddings you plan. Is that accurate?
Oh, I've definitely had some awkward situations. very sad to say. You know, I've dealt with very, very lovely couples that unfortunately one side had divorced parents, and the divorced parents were very not friendly.
Yeah.
And it was definitely quite a situation.
Is there anything you can do other than the seating plan to keep them, or is this just a personal issue? Everybody's got to deal with it on their own.
Sad to say, they could not put their differences aside, on the day of their child's most important day, their wedding. So, I pretty much had to act as the mediator as well as the buffer to keep them separated, that, we wouldn't have quite a scene in the middle of the reception or maybe even outside of the church. So that's part of the job of being a wedding consultant. Sometimes, you have to step in and, act as the buffer. And, sometimes you can smooth things over. Sometimes you have to take means, a couple steps ahead and say, look, if this is what the situation's going to be, I would suggest. And, sometimes the brides and the grooms get a little shocked, but they understand after that, you have to tell one or the other, if you can't put your differences aside, one of you two are going to have to step out from the wedding.
Has that ever happened? Have you ever had to kick anybody out of a wedding?
Well, I've never really had to kick anyone out, but I've had to take, means by having one particular person watch the mother and one particular person keep their eye on the father and make sure they stayed in opposite sides of the ballroom.
I have to say I'm so disappointed that that didn't happen at your wedding, because it would have been a much more interesting show today if somebody had been held outside.
Yeah.
I caught my mother stick her tongue out at my father behind his back at one point.
You did not.
I did. That was about as bad as it got. Fortunately,
that's cute.
And then by the end of the weekend, at the end of the crawfish boil on Sunday, so 4 days of events into it, I actually saw, and granted, my mother was a little intoxicated by this point. I saw her give a big ol' hug to my father and a big ol' hug to his wife before they left. I was kind of shocked. It was very sweet.
That's good.
Yeah.
You guys brought everyone together.
So something good came out of your wedding.
I guess.
So we're going to have to take a short break, but I want to talk about all these events that you planned and why you did it. So, we're going to take a short break.
Right. We'll be here. Yeah.
And when we come back, I live, take you, Dragon Face, to be my husband. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Whoa, the way you took it so slow.
You're listening to Lovin' Like This by the California Honey Drops on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Stay tuned for more from How to Behave.
No, I ain't never, 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 never had no loving like this before. And I just want to testify that you, yeah, you made me feel so good inside.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, 5 generations, 145 years. Full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Felt it too. But
we're back. This is How to Behave on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're speaking today with the recently wedded Liv and David, along with wedding planner Anthony Lala, about how to behave when planning a wedding. So the wedding was beautiful. You were the perfect host. Your family, Liv, were the perfect hosts, which has not been the case at every out-of-town wedding I've ever been to.
Me neither.
The location was beautiful, but I have one complaint, and only one complaint. And my complaint is not directed just at you. It is something that seems to be going on at every wedding these days. You chose to write your own vows, which were beautiful. David's was a numbered list in outline form, I believe,
mm-hmm.
with things like 3A, I think you're pretty, stuff like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was sweet and self-deprecating and all around lovely. And Liv, you talked about waking up in the morning with David in your face pretending to be a dragon.
I did. He's mad at me still for that. Sorry.
And it was really sweet, and I don't remember anything else you said because that image is just uh-huh. that's so strongly in my brain.
It was near the beginning, too.
And it was very sweet, and I think I shed a single manly tear at one point during the vows.
Man tear.
But they weren't vows.
Well, that's what I said.
They were just like a list of how awesome you each think the other
but
are.
But that was actually the preface of my whole vow time. I don't know if you remember this, but I said when I see people, and actually I did it specifically. I made it about TV. I was like, when I watch TV and people write their own vows, they're never actually vows. They're just speeches. Because, mm-hmm. of course, all of our friends did the same thing.
Right.
So that's why I specifically
half
did,
your friends are on TV.
Exactly. That's why I did the list. I said, so I'm going to break down my time into more. And then I ended with vows or promises because
I
feel
too.
The same way.
I did too.
You did, yeah.
Yes, I did.
You threw. There were some promises in there.
There were.
Oh, yeah. My last section was vows and or promises.
Yeah, okay. The last quarter of mine were promises and vows.
Okay, because
but I'm with you.
But
I've
yeah.
been to some weddings where I swear the vows were things like, "You're just so cute, I could bite you."
Yeah, exactly.
And I like.
Yeah.
I go,
well, that's why we did the.
My mother has a conniption. Like,
totally.
Every time somebody says anything other than, you know, love, honor, and protect.
Well, we thought about doing just that, just you know, a version of the traditional vows. But we wanted to write our own, and then we also it got a little disorganized there at the end. But our friends who married us, we had three officiants, and we did say, we did repeat, right? We just said, "I do." We were originally going to do a short repeated vow, but then we decided we didn't want to do that. But we did promise some stuff.
Like what kind of stuff?
Well, I promised you some things in my vows about, like, you know, making you salad forever and doing things with you. But then I think I had another line that was about along the lines of love, honor, and courage.
Yeah, you know, I think especially for a lot of people of our generation, you want to make it personal and you want to make it light and funny and until sort of the end when you want to say what everyone is there to hear you say, which is, I promise to love you and honor you and protect you to the best of my ability for as long as we're both. And so we did that.
As long as we're both what?
Alive.
Okay.
Alive.
As long as we're both willing to.
As long as we're both into it.
As long as we're feeling it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony, what's going on? Are people all writing their own vows these days?
Well, you know, that's been going on for quite a while. You know, most of the weddings that I do here in New Orleans are very elegant.
Wait, can you just say New Orleans again? Say New Orleans again.
New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, Brian, your accent's getting better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's rubbing off on you.
I'm just going to run the tape
very
over.
Elegant and formal and traditional. And very often, you know, the couple will do the traditional vows, but what a lot of them have been implementing, which is really, really nice, and it adds that very personal, special touch, is right after they do the traditional vows, they will say something personal about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really, to me, puts a real personal touch to the wedding ceremony.
But are you with me that there should actually be some vows within the vows?
Oh, Brian, I'm going to kill you.
Well, I'm going to go back and watch the video.
I have to say it. I am a traditionalist. And I think the old traditional vows are very beautiful, very meaningful. And I think when you see a couple standing in front of each other and they're just beaming in each other's eyes and they say those vows, it is absolutely the most priceless, the most beautiful moment you could ever see in two people's lives.
Yeah, I think that's true. I will now say something nice about your wedding. I realized while I was sitting there watching you guys exchange what I will call your toast, but you guys can call your vows if you want to, mm-hmm. and wishing that this is a toast, I should have a drink in my hand. But I remember thinking or realizing that I know you two individually, and I don't really know you two as a couple. And it didn't occur to me before that we each know each other through different ways. We have different relationships, and I don't see you two together very often. And seeing you two up there together expressing your feelings for each other, that was the moment where I was like, oh my God, thank God these two have each other. Like, this is exactly right. It was really lovely to watch. And I'm actually not kidding when I say I shed a single manly tear when I was watching it.
Thanks, Brian.
But it really, like what Anthony was saying, like, that's a really powerful moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, even with the lack of traditional vows, I think a lot of the feedback we got from people was about, we really loved how personal it was, and it seemed like the two of you, like, just along the lines of what you just said, you know, it seems like the two of you really are meant for each other and all that.
And, there's another big important part of weddings, which is that the two people who are committing their lives together are bringing their friends and family together to share in that commitment. And, you know, there's some weddings that, you know, get really explicit about that, like you as witnesses, or you have a responsibility to support this marriage ongoing, as just as the bride and groom do. And I think, I don't remember it being explicit in your ceremony, but I really felt it with that group of people, most of whom I didn't know, mm-hmm. coming together and seeing how close knit your friends are. I think and what a great supportive group they are.
We talked about having something like that in our ceremony at some point, because I totally agree with you about that, and I think that that's a really, to be honest, you know, I know that Liv sort of says that I planned the whole wedding, which isn't obviously entirely true, but my enthusiasm for participating in that way was in large part because of that. I had this wonderful opportunity to bring all of our friends and family together and throw this not only amazing party in New Orleans, which was a huge part of it, but also to share that moment with all of those people at an amazing party in New Orleans. So it's not hard to want to be on board for something like that.
Well, and I think all of our friends and our families, especially, I mean, at different times during the and after the wedding, said how much they appreciated that like, it's like what you said. I think it was helpful to have a series of events
over
the course of the weekend so that people could engage with each other. And
By the time the ceremony rolled around, I had friends.
Yeah.
Right.
I had someone hold a seat for me. Yeah. You know? That was sweet.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is don't elope, because having a wedding is lovely. That's what I'm getting out of this.
I think it's an individual thing,
obviously, but if you know...
Changing your plans, Hannah?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It might.
Do you envision yourself having a big wedding when the time comes? Or
I was never one of those little girls who had elaborate wedding fantasies. So I don't know, but I'm down for this really fun party where you just happen to be, not where you just happen to be, well, where the focus is your love and bringing all these people in your life into that. I think that sounds pretty cool.
Well, it's, you know, I'm sure this is true for a lot of people, but used to have a couple of friends who, you know, they get married and have a family and never see them again. But Liv and I are big, you know, we like big circles of friends. They're important to us and bringing them together and throwing events where they can spend some time together is something we really like to do. So a wedding is sort of the, you know, pinnacle of that kind of thing. Everyone wants to be there if they can. They want to be present and supportive and loving, and it's great.
One of my favorite things that happened, it happened for me in visuals and in pictures, like, that I saw after the wedding. When we came late to our own second night party at Balak, this cocktail lunch after our rehearsal dinner, and we walked in and I looked around and I saw people, all these people, all friends of ours, sitting with other people, other, like, there was this cross-pollination thing going on that was so cool. And then, you know, like you said, you made friends with, I think, one of my friends from college.
Yes.
And it just sort of became this, like, especially by Sunday.
Oh, my God, Sunday. Just like, Martha and Eric took my uncle to Lake Pontchartrain to some, like, crab shack or something.
Yeah,
my uncle
great.
Abandoned his wife and went off with my friends. Yeah, it was crazy. You know, all of that cross-pollination really came to the fore.
I just saw all these photographs of people, like, with people they had never... like, two of my friends ended up going out to dinner together the night on Saturday night, Sunday night, and all these people are now friends and like borrowing dresses from each other now that we're back in New York. And I'm like, that's great.
That's great.
You met at my wedding.
Speaking of dresses, you chose not to have bridal parties per se, right? Why was that?
I think we have different reasons, but my
reason... It wasn't just so the bridesmaids didn't have to wear horrible peach and lavender taffeta.
Like, well, I've been in several weddings in my time. In my time, makes it special. And they've all been very different and great in their own ways. But one of the things that I find difficult, it was great. It's been great for me in most of the situations. I had one friend get married and she paid for all of our bridesmaids' dresses and all that. But we went to a wedding a few years ago that ended up being very expensive for us to get to and be part of. And because we were actors and because we don't have a lot of money and a lot of our friends don't have a lot of money, we were already asking them to come to this place out of town and to do this thing. And also I was like, I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of female friends that I sort of consider very, very close. And I felt weird about choosing.
Yeah.
And I think David said...
Well, also in a non-traditional sort of wedding and ceremony that we were doing, that they also don't serve much of a purpose. I mean, I guess traditionally, they help there are ushers
in
the men's party, and they ush. And I don't know what the bridesmaids do. They help you, but you had your friends there helping you already.
I sort of tricked all of my friends into doing what I wanted them to do in the first place.
Right.
They were there
without excluding anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that Anthony? Is that sort of common now?
Well, you know, again, you know, here in New Orleans, it's still very traditional. They'll have bridesmaids. Basically, what the bride will do, again, depending on whether she's having a traditional wedding or a non-traditional wedding. I did a wedding one time where the bride chose some young ladies to be her bridesmaids, but instead of her picking their dresses, she told them, "This is the color. Go out and buy a dress in this color that you like."
So did they all end up in slightly different shades of the same color, so they clashed with each other?
Same color, but they had a dress that they liked and they'll use again, as opposed to them, the bride, picking out a dress that none of them would most probably would have liked or ever worn again.
That's cool.
I think it's so nice.
Basically, you know, in regards to the cost of weddings and all the other things that add up in having a lovely wedding, I've noticed over the years the number of bridesmaids and groomsmen have really come down. You know, you're looking at maybe two, possibly four bridesmaids the max. They're really not having large bridal parties anymore. And basically, the bridal party is most probably either sisters or brothers or their very, very, very best long-life friend as being a part of the wedding and not involving other people.
Okay,
they also feel that keeping the bridal party small, it does keep things less complicated.
Yeah. All right, we've got about 30 seconds left, Anthony. They did not throw a bouquet or a garter unless I was, like, off drinking scotch.
That never happened.
Is that a tradition that's disappearing?
Well, yes, it's also a tradition that's disappearing. You know, again, here in New Orleans, a lot of the brides and grooms still do it. Some of them are getting away from it. They're getting away from a lot of the traditional things, such as throwing the garter, throwing the bouquet, or some big, long toasting ceremony just before the cake is cut. They want to spend more time enjoying their reception, dancing, partying, socializing with their family and friends instead of getting caught up in wasting time doing traditional things.
Yeah.
So it just really depends on the couple as to how traditional they are or how non-traditional they are. And what they need to remember is the traditional things allows them more pictures, more photographs of a very memorable moment. Whereas if you eliminate these traditional things, you lose some of these special moments.
Yeah, you got to find a balance, huh?
That's it.
All right, that's our takeaway for the day. How to behave at your own wedding, you need to find a balance. All right, well, that's all the time we have today. A big thanks to my guests, newlyweds Liv Ruth and David Wells. And from weddingsbyanthonylala.com in New Orleans, Louisiana, Anthony Lala. Say it one more time. Where are you from, Anthony?
Anthony is from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, like syrup.
That's so good.
Thanks to the woman who, before the show today, made me a solemn vow to make her wedding vows actual vows, Hannah Howard.
Of course.
The How to Behave theme is courtesy of John Lindbaum and Big Five Chord. Check them out at BigFiveChord.com. Thanks to Joe Galarraga, who engineered today's show. You can always find episodes of How to Behave and lots of other great shows at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm Brian Kaiser, and take my advice. When you offer a toast, there better be drinks. This is How to Behave on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.